podcast, and welcome back to Too Smart for This. It's your host, Alexis Barber. Welcome to another solo episode of the show. I am happy to be sitting down and recording today because I've been in a bit of a funk. I've been talking about it a little bit recently, but also I'm in my luteal phase of my cycle, which is, it's like the week before your period when, like, genuinely I've just been sad. And also I've been home. I was supposed to go to Paris for spring break when I unexpectedly had to cancel my trip literally like as I was heading to the airport because I had a couple of projects that came in that I just wouldn't have been able to do while there. And I always wanted my spring break to be more restorative for me because, as I said the last few episodes, I have not been feeling super connected to myself. And I really think it's because I have not had time to reflect or process any of my emotions over the past few months. It kind of all started almost like a year ago in May when I did a month-long trip to Europe. I came straight home, did two trips in June. In July, traveled again, and then moved to Philadelphia, started school, got COVID really bad, went through a breakup, and then school has been kicking my butt ever since. And so this is the first, literally, I realized, like, I haven't, like, hung out with anybody since, like, for, like, 5 days, and it's the first time I've done that in a very long time. So I've been alone with my thoughts during my luteal phase, which means I've been crying, like, every couple of hours. If you know, you know. And it's a good thing because it means that I'm getting my emotions out. But I've really just been sitting with myself and recognizing that, like, hey, one, we need to, like, process emotions. And two, I really need to, like, take better care of myself and do this more often so it doesn't get to this place where everything feels so sad and overwhelming. And instead, I feel a little bit more in control and able to handle when things, like, are tougher. I'm noticing, though, like, I'm pretty good at handling having a lot on my plate, but at the same time, like, I really feel like I need some more time to recharge, and, like, burnout is inevitable. So I'm making the decision to take a little bit of a lighter course load for the rest of the semester so that I can prioritize working on my business and working on Too Collective and working on content creation, which are the things that really do bring me a lot of joy, and I haven't been able to give them my all. So I'm really excited for the way the next few weeks are going to look. It also is the end of daylight savings time, which means that we're getting the sun earlier and later, thank God, which is so good for me because I love to bookend my days with walks. So I'll wake up in the morning at like 6 a.m. and go on a walk till 7, and then I can really be in my deep work hour. Like, my deep work is the best from like 7 to 10 a.m. and then I can, like, go along with the rest of the stuff that my day, like, throws at me. So I'm, like, so excited about that. And then by the evening, I can work out at like 6 p.m. and, like, it'd still be fine and not be pitch blackout. So I feel so excited about the horizon, but I'm in my little, like, phase of needing to, like, sit at home and do nothing. Also, just get back to myself. So the first thing I did, and I'm gonna make this a little series on TikTok of getting my priorities straight, I decluttered my entire apartment and I ordered everything that I, like, said that I was gonna get. Like, I'm like, oh, I need art for the guest bathroom. And it's like, I sat down and I just did it all. And I just ordered everything. And it's all gonna be here within the next, like, week. So by end of next week, so around the time of the next episode, hopefully I'll be posting, like, an apartment tour, because for me, and this might be different for you, but for me, the way I feel the most, the way I express myself the most and the way I feel the best is in my home and in my apartment. And I think it's because I grew up in a situation where I didn't have a very nice house and I never could invite people over. And, like, I had, like, there was so much chaos in my home. Like, having a peaceful home that's organized and beautiful and inspires me and allows me to create the content I want to create. Like, it just gives, it's like, there's no better feeling. There's no more joy. Like, I invest, obviously the way people choose to spend their money is, like, completely up to them, but I spend so much money on home decor and organization and maintaining my home because it's just so important to me. So I am so excited because it's finally coming to life. And this apartment, as you guys know, I moved in, like, December. This apartment, the flow is just so much better. Oh, I am just so excited. So with that being said, today's episode is going to be a Q&A, mostly because I don't have the capacity to speak on the way that all my feelings have been recently, because I've been a little down. Also, how freaking cute are these glasses I got from Anthropology? If you're watching on YouTube, they are so adorable. I have sparkling water in there. So good. And they match the vibe so well. So today we're going to do a Q&A. I'm just going to do a couple of questions because I don't have a ton of time and because I wanted to answer them. So the first one is updated money / how you manage it as a business owner and grad student. So managing my finances after like leaving my full-time like 9 to 5 was really hard because basically I have never used my business like income, like the income I've made as an influencer for personal things like rent or groceries and stuff like that. Like I had my business, I had my 9 to 5 income and which was a very strong and like I had made a lot of money at Google, but I had saved all of that to the point where I was able to like live normally and do everything normally until I got to school in September. And then the rest of that savings was like in a different place. And so all of that, once I got to school, I started like having to pay myself from my business, which was very scary and hard. And that's like what I feel like I haven't really gotten the hang of. But moreover, on top of that, business school and the travel and the opportunities that come with it was at least like 3 times more expensive than I was anticipating. Everything was way more expensive. I was spending way more than I thought I would. So the way I do it is like I have a set like budget that I pay myself from my content creation. So the Two Collective itself, that business is its own thing where it's like not like anyone who is running a startup knows you don't make any money from that. So every time like I sell a robe, then that money goes into being able to buy more robes so that we can sell more robes, marketing, all that stuff. Then there's influencer stuff, which there's a lot of expenses that come with being an influencer. So the first is like the fees that you are paying your manager. There's the editing fees. So not everyone has an editor, but I do because I can't survive without one. Love you so much, Ariana. You literally run my life. And then two, paying someone to help with the Two Collective social media. And then paying for like the fixed expenses of like making sure your website is going, paying for like all these other little software expenses. And then business expenses, such as like having clothing to talk about, buying products to review for you guys, buying equipment like a new camera because my camera broke last month. So there's all those types of things, and that all is coming out of my business account. And then I also have to pay myself. And when I pay myself, then I sort of have a set budget of my basic like bills and stuff like that. And then everything else I put on my credit cards. So I have 2 credit cards that I use on a daily basis for my personal stuff. I use the Chase Sapphire Preferred and then the Amazon Prime credit card. That's because I order so much on Amazon and you get 5% back and like 10% back or something on Amazon, which is amazing. And I have like a mental amount of how much that like I want to spend on food, travel, etc. And like that's sort of like the limit on my credit card. For example, like my monthly expenses are like $2,000 and that's like what's coming out of cash of my account. Like that's paying for rent and all that stuff. It's not $2,000 and I'm giving you an example. And then in my head, I'm like, I don't want to spend more than $2,000 on my credit card this month. So I just have an alert set up on Chase that's like, hey, your account, I have it set to where it's like, it'll tell me when I've hit a certain like credit limit, and then I'll know, okay, I need to like slow down on spending this month because that's how much I've like budgeted from what I've paid myself and stuff like that. And so that's sort of how I do it. It's a little bit, I think everything sort of stands in terms of my financial philosophy, which is 1, build an emergency fund, 2, pay off high interest debt, 3, invest in your retirement accounts, and 4, invest in the stock market. I haven't been doing a good job of investing lately just because I feel really insecure about like how to invest my money. So a lot of it's just sitting in my business bank accounts and I'm investing in things like inventory and stuff for Two Collective. So that's sort of how I'm doing it. I know that like it'll probably change and evolve and be more sophisticated at some point, but I'm just a girl who hasn't had time to even like wear her retainer the last few months. So I'm not the most sophisticated financial guru right now. The next one is navigating failure / professional pivots. Well, I've been there before, let me tell you that. I think failure in the moment is just such a deep sting. I remember just about 2 years ago now, I was experiencing like a pretty, what felt like a really big professional failure. in my content creation, on the content creation side. And the reason that it stung so much was because, like, it was everything I was doing, like, the result of the failure was because I was acting out of insecurity and I was acting out of, you know, not feeling abundant or like I was enough. And that really hurt because, one, you know, like, you're realizing that, like, when you do things that are not in integrity with yourself, it backfires, you know? And so that was, like, a really big professional failure that I felt I could never come back from. And I think it really set me back mentally way more than it did professionally. And I think that's what I want to caution you to reframe. Because a lot of times when we experience failure, we are beating ourselves up way too much about it. We are like, I can never come back from this. When in reality, when you think about someone around you who's failed or someone around you who's not done a good job or faced a professional setback, you never chalk it up to them being a bad person or them not being able to be successful in the future. You're always like, oh, like, that sucks that happened, but that person can come back from it. Failure is all about how you respond to it, not about the actual problem. And for me, when I was dealing with this failure, I assigned a lot of, like, personal labels and permanence to it in my head. And that has created more limitations for me because I've had to undo all of that, which was trying to protect me and trying to, you know, like, I guess, punish me from all that, like, failure or whatever. I had to undo a lot of that and be like, no, it's okay to fail. It's okay to mess up. As long as you apologize and do better in the future, that's all that matters. And so for that reason, I want to say, like, if you continue to beat yourself up about your failure, you are only going to continue to fail because you are going to be your own worst enemy. When you see failure, take it as, what is the lesson I learned from this? And then reframe it as, I'm so excited to apply this lesson to future parts of my life. And that's all. And then you just keep it pushing. And get back into daydreaming. Get back into that place where you feel more alive and connected to yourself. Because if you don't feel that way, then you're not going to get there. You know what I mean? So I do think it's super important that we acknowledge failure. We figure out what the lesson was from that failure. We apply it to the future, but we don't associate it with our worthiness as a human being. Okay, someone asked about what is bringing you joy right now? That's a nice question. I could say these little wine glasses are being able to decorate and, like, have my apartment and build a home that I feel safe in is bringing me a lot of joy. I'm loving that I have two best friends, Alexis and Zara, who genuinely, like, oh, I could even cry about it because I don't know where I would be without them. Like, they fill my cup so much. And I do think, like there was a time, there was a lot of years where I didn't have women that I felt safe and, like, I could be myself with. And there was a lot of time where I felt like there was women who I had to, like, perform to be around, and not necessarily their fault, just because of the environment I was in, it wasn't safe to be myself yet. And I now feel really grateful to have women that I can trust and women that I love so much. And, like, I genuinely feel like when you have girlfriends that you can really be yourself with, that fill your cup, that genuinely want to see you succeed, when you have that, like, there's no greater gift. So I'm grateful for the women in my life. I'm grateful for my friends, and they bring me so much joy. Like, I couldn't do anything without them. And yeah, I think, like, just being at a place where I'm financially, like, stable and being, like, able to do things for myself, it just feels amazing. And that's super helpful. Other things bringing me joy are my long walks, the way the sun is coming out earlier. Yeah, I'm happy about that. Okay. And things. I'm a material girl. I love little beautiful things. Okay, next up is breakup tips. Ooh. Oh God, I'm still in it. Like I said, this is the first, like, few days that I've really been able to, like, sit with my thoughts and, like, be on my own. And I think, like, my breakup's hitting me a lot more right now. And I remember talking to my friend who went through a breakup of a relationship that was a similar amount of time. And she told me that, like, the first, like, 3 to 6 months, for reference, my relationship was 6 years. For the first 3 to 6 months, she dissociated. Like, she doesn't really know what was going on then. She was just, like, living. Because it's impossible for you to process losing someone who is such a big part of your life. And I think that's what I did. I mean, the last 6 months, I was at school. I was distracted. I was talking to boys. I was you know, traveling all the time. I was doing schoolwork. Like, I was really dissociating. I wasn't processing, like, how big of a loss I experienced. And that is inevitable. So if you break up with someone, don't expect yourself to... There's all these, like, TikTok videos about, like, the breakup snatching and, like, the losing weight and the glow up and everything after a breakup. I just entered a party girl era. I just entered, like, a whatever, like, roller coaster era, honestly. And honestly, like, it was fun and I learned a lot. Now I'm settling into, hold on, girl, what are you doing? And being more intentional and thoughtful about the way that I act and the way I spend my time. Because, like, I was not being intentional for the past, like, couple of months. So I really think that, like, my biggest tip is to not judge where your emotions go, but rather to try your best to come back to yourself on a daily basis, whether that's through a walk, through journaling, or through, you know, expressing yourself with, like, art or dance or a workout class even, like, some do things for you. Because I think I, by the nature of being in school and adjusting to that transition, didn't do enough for myself the past, like, couple of months. And I was really just, like, going with the flow and putting other people, especially men's opinions, like, first. And that's not healthy. So I would do something to come back for you, to yourself. Two, I would remember why you broke up with and why the relationship didn't work, and, like, use that data anytime that you're feeling, like, stuck on it, and be like, okay, you know what I mean? Using data to make decisions. Think critically about why you left or why they left you and why it's not going to work, and then operate from that place as opposed to the memories of when things were good. Because as if you can be secure in the fact that, like, this was not meant for you, that's very helpful. And of course, like, no contact is good. Not talking to each other unless it's about, like, something logistically that you have to. I think that just makes it a lot harder. So I would highly recommend that, because you need to heal and be completely okay with the breakup before you can go back to talking to each other. So that's important. Okay, that's all I have for now. I will talk more about breakup stuff later on, but then again, it's just, like, as you can just sort of tell, it really drains me to think about. Okay, final question I'm going to answer today is ADHD, and how do you manage it in school among all of the boss girl shit you do? That's so sweet. Thank you. Adderall. That's it. That's the only thing I do. No, I'm just kidding. Kind of. But I have medication for ADHD, and that's what helps me get things done probably Monday through Thursday. I don't like taking it on the weekends because I just don't like how it makes me feel. I think if you actually have ADHD, you don't really like Adderall because it, like, feels like it takes away your creativity and all that stuff. Yeah, but, like, in terms of managing the medication itself, I like to take it in the morning with my electrolyte colostrum water, which I've been very religious about. And then for me, it really dehydrates me. So I have to make sure I am drinking water throughout the day. And then I also make sure I'm eating a lot of protein, because you forget to eat with it. And if I don't drink water and actually eat protein throughout the day, then by 6 p.m. I am starving and more likely to binge drink or binge eat, which is not good for me. So I try to do that, and I set reminders on my little smart speakers, and I have those reminders go to my phone too, so that way if I'm not at home, I'm getting that reminder that's like, hey, it's time to eat, like, have you eaten today, or hey, drink water, because otherwise you're gonna get a headache in 2 hours, because you've been here before, you know how that works. Otherwise, I just have really good systems, like my Google Calendar system, my task systems, as well as my, like, when I get really overwhelmed, I have frameworks for how I respond to that. And that's when I sit down, I write out everything I need to do, the amount of time it's going to take me to do it, I prioritize it, and then I get it done. And I think that's really helpful. It's really all about having frameworks that you can come back to when you're in that state of, like, panic. Because when we have ADHD, a big problem is that we get distracted, but when we know ourselves and we know how we work, it's a lot easier to get back on track. So if it helps, like, write down, like, when I feel really overwhelmed, these are the three things I do. Keep that in your notes app or keep that in your journal. And that way your brain remembers, like, oh, I have a way to respond to this. And that's really helpful. The other thing I do is every so often, or, like, I will just have an ADHD day where it's like, I will just do everything that I want to do, like, through, like, the lens of ADHD, I guess, where it's like, sometimes it's about, like, cleaning and organizing my apartment. I can't just clean and organize one section of my apartment. Like, I have to go through and do it all and run around and, like, just let my brain go wild. And sometimes, like, that really helps too, honestly, because I may not be doing it in the most perfect organized way, but it's, like, getting done and I feel connected to myself. So, yeah, that was the Q&A for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it and I hope it brought you a little bit of value and joy. Taking requests on what kind of podcast episodes and guests that you want to hear next. And you can DM me on Instagram at Alexis Barber all the time if you want to submit requests. Please don't forget to rate and subscribe to the show. It means so much to me. And don't forget, we do all of our solo episodes over on YouTube. So if you want to watch these, you can do that on my YouTube channel, which is just my name, Alexis Barber. Don't forget to shop Too Collective if you want to get all cozy like I am in this Too Cozy robe. These are on the Too Collective website, toocollective.com, and you can use the code podcast15 for 15% off. These are the best. I mean, you guys have been chit-chatting, sending over what I love is I will, like, FaceTime my friends and they'll all be in their robes, and, like, I've been taking screenshots every time and I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe you love this, and they're like, it's the best robe ever. So I hope this inspires you to take some time for yourself. I love you guys so much and I will see you next time. And don't forget, you're too smart to not love yourself.